Welcome to Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors. I'm your host, Chris McGregor, and I'm delighted to be joined by Gary Machuda. He's a seasoned Catholic apologist whose books include Why Catholic Bibles Are Bigger, The Untold Story of the Lost Books of the Protestant Bible, and The Gospel According to James McCarthy, a Catholic response to McCarthy's book, The Gospel According to Rome. We're going inside the pages of Gary Machuda's book, How to Wolfproof Your Kids, a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. Each year, thousands of Catholics fall prey to the manipulative and deceptive recruiting practices of non-Catholic groups, sects, and cults. How to Wolfproof Your Kids provides parents with critical information about how these groups recruit and what steps you can take to protect yourself and your children. We're going inside the pages of How to Wolfproof Your Kids, a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic, with Gary Machuda. Welcome, Gary.
Good morning.
Talk to us about How to Wolfproof Your Kids, a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. What compelled you to undertake this big subject?
Oh, well, you know, I've been doing apologetics, Catholic apologetics, for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that has struck me was over and over again, I would be called on what I call these kamikaze missions, where parents will call me in and ask me to talk to their kid because they've already declared they're leaving the church. And not only that, but whenever I do talks at conferences, parents will come up to me and they'll tell me stories about how their families literally were torn apart because some sect group or cult basically sheep-stealed their kid. They stole them out of the church, and their families are just devastated. And so doing apologetics, you're often, I come from Detroit, so we talk about like back-end engineering. Things go wrong, they go to the auto repair shop, and the auto repair shop will tell the companies, you know, you have to redesign your cars.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, apologetics is kind of like that. We always get the back-end things. When things go wrong and someone leaves the church, then usually an apologist knows about it. So I thought, wouldn't it be great to do some front-end engineering and put an apologetic program for parents before their kids are pulled out of the church? And somehow, through using these methods, it could actually make it much more difficult for the kids to be kind of bamboozled by anti-Catholic wolves out there.
Well, it's important to note that this isn't just for those who have small children and you're trying to prepare them as they grow. This is for kids at practically any age, isn't it?
That's right, yeah. Not only young kids, but older kids. You know, surprisingly, we've got a lot of interest from grandparents who want to give it to their kids who are having children or about to have children. The other thing, too, is wolves don't really discern whether they're young or old. They'll go after anyone. I've been called on cases where the kids of the family are worried about their parents because they've been pulled out of the church.
Mm.
So, the advice in there runs the whole gamut of if you have young kids to maybe older kids, or maybe I even have a chapter dedicated what you should do if someone has already left the church.
I just have to say, just a side note, that it's unfortunate that in the Christian community there seems to be this need to tear down and go into, how do I want to say this, their backyards, each other's backyards, when there's a great big giant world out there that needs to hear the message of Jesus Christ. And it's frustrating, isn't it? I mean, when you sit there and you have to worry, as you've said, about wolves coming in to steal the sheep.
Right, right. Your first reaction as a parent is to kind of start your own Catholic compound and protect them from the world, but ultimately they're going to have to interact with the outside world. And it's sad that even some things, you know, as simple as, you know, when we were growing up, the radio and television, it was pretty much safe. You didn't have to worry about it. But now, all kinds of media, music, TV, radio, especially the internet, there can be wolves. I've known people, and I have a couple of stories in my book, where someone was surfing and they ran across a website and they got hooked into a group, and it literally just devastated the whole family.
Mm. Well, describe to us the typical wolf. But first, we need to know what our potential adversary looks like.
Well, I make a distinction between just someone who opposes Catholicism and a wolf. See, a wolf is someone who will use deceptive means to pull somebody out of the church. They're out to hunt, to sheep steal. They'll give false information. They'll even lie. And I've encountered this with door-to-door missionaries who, being apologists, I've already studied the issues, and I kind of play coy with them. And they'd lie to my face that, oh, no, this is totally wrong. That's not what happened. And they'll give their lie and their story. But they use deceptive means to pull people out. And that's what's so insidious about, what I call wolves, is it's not that a child is searching for a different religion and they find something. This is somebody who's not searching, that a wolf will approach, deceive, and pull out. The victim won't even know what happened to them. Mm-hmm. They'll just completely turn their whole worldview around. And then all of a sudden, then it hits the family, where the family says, boy, what's happened to this person? They're no longer like they used to be.
Right. We also, I feel, need to say in all charity, too, there are those who will come to the door, and they will be so sincere in their belief because they have been raised with what tantamounts to overt lies that they're not aware of, or total misunderstanding, or a teaching of a historical occurrence within the church without that fullness of the context. And so they've developed in this lie, and they so sincerely believe it. So when they come, it's always important to view them with all charity as well, correct?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, a common thread that runs through people who leave these groups is that they come to a door where they meet a Christian that truly loved Jesus, maybe loved Jesus more than they did. And, according to their worldview, these people will be either damned or destroyed, or something bad will happen to them. But they'll meet genuine Christian charity, and that seed will be planted, and eventually they'll start questioning, well, why do I believe this thing? Because this person down the street loves Jesus more than I do, yet somehow I'm going to be rewarded and they're going to be destroyed. You're absolutely right. And also, sheep become wolves, and they've been deceived, like you said, and now they're deceiving others. Because wolves, I outlined the parameters in the book, one of the biggest parameters is information control. They only know the information that the group allows them to know about Catholicism or anything else. And so when they come to your door, they're perfectly innocent, and they're convinced of the truth because they've only been given a certain amount of information about outside groups and their own group. And part of wolf-proofing is, again, to kind of broaden the horizons of your children so that they have critical information about probably the most active groups in your area.
Let's go into the scenario that you've kind of outlined on the book for a typical approach by, say, a wolf. Okay. What is it something that a parent can recognize?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I give red flag issues because what I found in doing, like I said, these kamikaze apologetic missions, is the longer the person's in the recruitment process, because it is a process, all the wolves basically recruit the same way. So we can make a countermeasure for that because we know the process. But the longer they're being recruited, the more difficult it is to get them out. So it's very important that parents or loved ones recognize someone's being recruited so they can intervene right away.
Mm-hmm.
But there's lots of red flag issues that parents can notice. For example, one thing is to keep good tabs with your child's best friends, because children normally aren't as open with their parents as they are with their best friends, and their best friends are usually pretty closely tied to their social net. So usually the best friends and not the parents are the first ones to be aware that somebody's being pulled out of the church. They'll say things like, you'll ask, well, how's Johnny doing at school? Well, I haven't seen Johnny. He's kind of got a new group of friends, and he's really busy studying the Bible, and that's a warning flag. All mm-hmm. of a sudden, old friends drop off the screen, new friends arrive. Another warning flag is the presence of odd religious or even social paraphernalia. For example, does your child seem to have a whole bunch of literature from one specific publisher, which is mm-hmm. maybe an odd publisher, a specific Bible, or maybe they're dabbling with the cult. They have cultic things. Another thing too is jargon, and I make a I talk in detail in the book about jargon. See, every group kind of has their own lingo. And if you're talking to your child and you notice that your child starts using terms that they even maybe be Christian terms, but it doesn't seem like he's using them in the same way, that could be a big red flag. For example, I give a lot of stories in my book. One story is what I call the Tale of the Shadow Wolf.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking to this lady I was called in, and every time she referred to the Holy Spirit, she would just simply say Holy Spirit. She wouldn't say the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd say, well, we're all filled with Holy Spirit. Now, that was a red flag for me because that type of jargon is indicative of certain groups like Jehovah's Witnesses, Christadelphians, the Way International. They don't believe in the person of the Holy Spirit, so they'll just say Holy Spirit. And she was, all this time she was claiming she wasn't talking to any other group. She was just coming up with all this stuff on her own. And that was a definite clue that somehow she's tied to a group. Somebody is recruiting her. And then mm-hmm. through that, we were able to get her out of the group.
When that, like you said, in that early detection, that interaction with your child, and not just talking to their friends, but also talking to the child. I mean, having that open communication right from the get-go, I mean, that is a very, very vital component in all of this.
Absolutely, yeah. And it isn't odd, actually, because, you know, our souls and bodies are so united that when you start affecting somebody's soul, their belief system, their bodies will change too. And what I mean by that is, and this is indicative of all kinds of recruiting, is that when somebody's being recruited into a group, their whole personalities will change. They might be happy, you know, happy-go-lucky, fun kind of person that like to joke a lot. All of a sudden, they'll become somber. They'll become fixated on certain topics. Certain topics will be hot-button issues that never were before. That's also a sign. You know, it's, I don't know how many cases I've run into where they said, you know, Jane or Johnny or whoever, they just aren't the same person that they grew up with. Now, you know, with all these red flag issues, there could always be other things. You know, maybe they're having a tough time at school. Maybe they're having a tough time with relationships. But if they change like that, that could be a problem. And the odd thing is, once you get them away from their recruiter, their old personalities will come back. There's some, you know, a happy-go-lucky person will suddenly become somber. You'll take them out on a family vacation for a week. All of a sudden, they start turning into their old self. They'll be happy. They'll be joking. As soon as they come back home and the recruiters start going after them again, their personality changes again. So that's another clue, too.
Right, and I think we just have to reiterate one more time that we're talking about those experiences that come in, that may potentially come into a family that becomes detrimental to the spiritual life of the child. I mean, your basic faith sharing with other Christians in and of itself can be very edifying.
Exactly.
That we can learn from them, say, for some of our Protestant brothers and sisters, a great love that they have for the Word, for Scripture. But they, too, can also learn from us in our sacramental belief, and that there's that exchange that is a mutual appreciation of each other's giftedness. That's good. But when it becomes a tearing apart that ends up harming even the relationship within the family, now that's a very serious concern, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's the difference between sharing and proselytism.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're not concerned about the exchange of ideas or knowing and loving Jesus better. It's really padding their pews and getting extra people into their groups.
That's right.
Yeah.
When a child does fall away, and there are many that are out there that could be listening at this time that have children that have not necessarily left the Catholic Church, they're just not practicing their faith, but those who have really made a turn towards a different belief system, what is it that the parent can do?
Well, the first thing you should do is not do what instinctively comes to everybody, and that is to get angry, blow up, yell at them. say you're Catholic, you know, listen to your mom and dad. We know better. You follow us. Because what happens is when these wolves are recruiting, they'll inculcate into the recruit that if you're in the truth, people will persecute you. And often when a child comes back to the family and they're really convinced of their new belief system, they'll spring it on mom and dad, and mom and dad will explode. And they'll interpret that explosion not that, boy, I did something wrong. They'll interpret it as, I must be in the truth because I'm being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to fight the urge to blow up, remain calm, gather information. That's the first thing. Find out, you know, as calmly as you can. Well, how did you come about this? You know, who are you talking to? What kind of books were you reading? You might even say, you know, I might be interested in looking at, you know, try to gather information. What group is recruiting them? Then the second thing to do is to find someone who is familiar with that group or yourself study about the group. Get critical information about that group. Because like I said, what wolves do is they only show their recruits only as much information as they need to know to get in.
Mm-hmm.
They'll never share information that's critical of their own beliefs. They'll never acknowledge thoughts that are opposed to their beliefs. So you need to gather information about that specific group. Parents often make a mistake that if their child's being recruited, you know, you're going to talk to father, and father is going to straighten it out.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is father probably doesn't know what group they belong to, and he might not know the parameters of the group, and that can actually do more harm than good. You need to know somebody specific who knows specifically about that group, or you need to be educated. Then the third step is, in a very loving and friendly way, present some of the critical information. Give your child all the information that they can decide.
Mm-hmm.
And once all the facts are on the table, and through God's grace, they'll see that they have been sold a bill of goods by these recruiters.
And also, it could be a real call for parents and grandparents to revitalize their own faith life. Because the strongest witness is an active, joy-filled experience of your own Christian faith. And if you're not having that and having that shine out to those around you, especially those in your family, then it's time for a call for a deeper conversion for yourself, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. That's one way to anchor a child into the faith is through prayer, through sacraments, especially through living authentic Catholic life. Because the faith is, your children look to see exactly how valuable the faith is. And if you don't take your faith seriously, they're not going to take the faith seriously. And they'll be willing to exchange it for anything else. But if you really invest in your faith and live out your faith, that's testimony to your child that the faith is worth sacrificing for, and they're not going to throw that away as something not of value. You know, it'll be much more difficult for people to approach them with different ideas.
There are many directors of religious education programs, pastors, associate pastors who absolutely kind of lament in many ways in a very deep sadness in their hearts when they see the groups of parents that will bring their kids in the second grade for first communion, and then they kind of go away for a while, and then all of a sudden they all come back at eighth grade for confirmation.
Yeah.
And then they all kind of slip back, and then the parents come years later and say, well, what, my child is no longer practicing the faith. Well, gosh, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And hypocrisy is, I can't think of anything more deadly to someone's faith, especially for young kids growing up. There's many things that can destroy one's faith, but to be in the presence of, say, hypocritical parents who will drop them off, you know, for religious ed and then drive off and do something more important, or mm-hmm. drop them off for church and go shopping or something, that is probably the most devastating witness someone could give against the faith that I could think of.
So that revitalization of one's own faith, that ongoing conversion that we experience and gathering resources and just living that out, it begins with us first and foremost, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And then it's important for parents to share and live out that faith with their children. In my book, I give a whole bunch of tips and suggestions how to do it painlessly, because I know there's a lot of people out there like me who are kind of shy and don't like to go outside the comfort zone. So I give some easy tips on just basically how to not only live out your faith, but to get your children involved also. Like, for example, one suggestion I give is a life chain, mm-hmm. where you could stand outside your church holding a sign or a specific street with a couple hundred other people with a very simple, non-confrontative pro-life message. You could stand out there with your kids. And that's a witness that not only is the faith true, but it's worth being lived. It's worth being, you know, stepping outside your comfort zone and telling other people about it.
My favorite chapters in the book is that whole process of catechesis, devotion, living out the practices. And as you said, you offer practical suggestions in that. And just having those devotions that we truly enter into, not just having the rosary on a wall per se or crucifix on the wall, but actually praying the Stations of the Cross with your kids, actually entering into the rosary with them through that prayer life. That's so important, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Because, you know, in Scripture says our warfare really isn't against flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual warfare. And when we raise our kids deep in the sacraments, deep in devotion, God's grace can pull them through. I mean, I always think of St. Monica and St. Augustine. St. Monica was a good, holy woman, but St. Augustine left, and she basically prayed him back into the church. So mm-hmm. if that's true with St. Augustine, you know, it's true with parents also, that through the sacraments, through prayer, through devotion, you know, there's always hope. There's always hope that the kids will come back, no matter how far they stray.
Yeah, the greatest weapon I think we have is the greatest gift, and that's love. That's, mm-hmm. you know, to love them, and even to love that wolf that it either comes to the door or is involved somehow through a school experience or some kind of outer social experience, that to bring them in and even to, you know, love them at least in your prayer life, that can do a world of good too, can't it?
Absolutely, because wolves don't experience a lot of love. I mean, especially these groups that are deceptive and anti-Catholic, they're not filled with love. They don't have true Christian charity. Excuse me. They don't care for the poor. Really, the things of the faith or Jesus, the Trinity, that become objects. They become factoids, data. It really becomes depersonalized in these groups. And the most important thing is to recruit and bring people in. And like I said, or like you said, genuine charity, that will change people's hearts.
Mm. Now, we're talking, of course, to Gary Machuda about how to wolf-proof your kids, a practical guide for keeping your kids Catholic. Once you've given the tremendous blessing of bringing them into the church and getting to know the faith, how do you help them in today's world to stay that solid Catholic witness? You have in the book many resources, Gary, which is really nice. I mean, every type of whether it's apologetics or just in that devotional expression within your home. I mean, you've really tapped into some wonderful opportunities for people to receive help.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because we can't do it alone. I mean, not only do we need God's help, but we also need good resources. And so I thought it would be great for the appendix to give suggestions on how you could build your own Catholic resources to have these things on hand, because timing's of the essence. As soon as you find out someone's being recruited, it might not even be your child, it could be a neighbor's child, it's good to have resources on hand, or resources that your children know they can access if they need to learn something.
I think one of the most important ones you can have bookmarked is hands-on apologetics. I think
oh, thank you.
.com, everyone. Hands-on apologetics. I mean, Gary, you have compiled so much on that site and offer it so willingly and freely to everyone. How has that been for you? How has the life of the apologist bowed up for you and your family? Has it surprised you? Has it been some, the challenge has been unexpected?
We fostered and adopted three siblings.
Mm-hmm.
So there was already a huge learning curve to begin with. But it's been truly an amazing discovery to see the faith blossom in your kids.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the tips I give are things that I've tried on my own children and recommended to parents and youth groups. For example, I recommend most of that train your kids to actively engage information. Just don't passively receive it. And one thing I do to sharpen that skill is if we watch a program or we listen to a song, I ask questions about details so that they learn to listen to the details or watch the details.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing is my kids will often, they're more observant than me. They'll find all sorts of subtleties that I miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to use that, you know, with the faith so that, was this a good program? Why was it a good program? Who was the heroes? What was the plot about? What was it trying to teach us? And over the years, it's amazing that they've become and how perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gotten to the point where my kids have, you know, they're able to discern good from bad. You know, or this is a great program. You know, the things they liked about the program were the most godly things about the program.
Mm-hmm. I just wish we had more time to keep discussing, but then that's the great thing about not only purchasing the book, How to Wolfproof Your Kids, A Practical Guide for Keeping Your Kids Catholic, but also going to the website, because there they can also email you and engage you and ask you questions as well, can't they, Gary?
Yeah, and I'm going to integrate a section in my website just for wolfproofing. So if you're on Facebook, there's a How to Wolfproof Your Kids site. We'll get a forum going, and hopefully we can get not only have resources available for you online, but also have a forum that you could talk to other people who are going through the same things.
Oh, great. Well, Gary Matuta, all the best, and keep up the good work. I'm looking forward to other projects that you might be working on, including the additions that you're making to your website.
Oh, thanks.
We've been going inside the pages of Gary Matuta's book, How to Wolfproof Your Kids, A Practical Guide for Keeping Your Kids Catholic. To purchase a copy of this book, or to find out more information, go to handsonapologetics.com, Gary Matuta's Catholic apologetic website. Or you can find it at any fine Catholic bookstore. To hear and download this discussion, along with many others, go to www.insidethepages.com. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Join me next time for Inside the Pages, insights from today's most compelling authors.